The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Well, hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we are coming to you in three different locations, which we often do. It is Tuesday, March the 13th. It is the week on the PGA Tour for the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. A lot of people looking forward to this. In particular, Tiger Woods playing back-to-back after a great finish at the Valspar. We'll talk about that. We'll also look ahead to the Arnold Palmer Invitational and what to expect there from not only Tiger, but a pretty strong field as well, playing in the API, as always. Join us in just a minute will be Will Backus. He, of course, the brand manager for Canoes Golf Shoes. We've talked about Canoes for, I guess, over a year now, since we first met Will at the Masters. I guess it was about a year ago.
Two years ago.
That's right. And Canoes, one of the hottest shoes all over the country when it comes to golf or leisure, you name it. It is a phenomenal shoe, and we'll tell you all about it. They've got a new one coming out, not coincidentally, this time of the year with a special color involved. So we'll talk about that with Will Backus and Canoes in just a bit. You heard Frank there. Frank, of course, coming from the Nashville studios. How you doing today, Frank?
Good, man. What's up? How you doing?
Everything good?
Everything's great here in Nashville. Always. Nashville's just a wonderful place. It's a great place to live. Beautiful. Nice weather. I'm getting
got a little snow yesterday, I saw.
We did. I'm getting ragged by my friends locally and people in media that have heard the show and said, why do you rag on Nashville all the time?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'll quit it. So, Nashville, I love you. There you go.
There you go. Yeah. I did see that there's a little bit of snow falling there, but spring definitely in the air.
Yeah.
In most parts of the country, although not in the Northeast, which, by the way, I've never understood, Frank. We'll go back to my local TV days. When I first heard the term nor'easter, I was like, okay, what is that? And I'd come from Chicago to Texas, and I thought, well, that's a Texas term that somehow, you know, they kind of put a twang on that. But no, it's, I don't know why they just can't use two more letters.
I thought
you call it a northeaster. Why it's a nor'easter, you're not really abbreviating that much out of the entire word. I'm not sure, but that's what's hitting again in the East Coast.
We have a sign in the South that says no Easterners. Is that what that means?
That might be.
Can't move down here, go home? Yeah. No.
Without the R, yeah, no Easters.
No Easterners.
So they get a lot of snow, in New York, in Connecticut, in Boston, New England, all over that area. And that's where Will Backus joins us. He, of course, a brand manager with Canoes Golf Shoes. And he's coming to us from his home outside of New York City in Connecticut. Will, how you doing today? A little bit of snow falling, isn't it?
Hey, Frank and Tim, good morning. Yeah, I'm looking at ski reports locally. It's amazing. This is our third nor'easter in about 12 days, and it's frustrating for sure.
So, in on top of that, you had an Achilles injury that you're still just recovering from. Tell us how that went down. You said it's just it's not fun to get old, but you're out. Was it a basketball game or something that you were playing and pickup game, and it just blew?
Yep, just middle-aged white guy stuff, and you know, everything was going wrong just fine until it wasn't, and the Achilles popped. I went down like a wet towel and kind of, you know, quick surgery, and now I'm on the mend. But it's, you know, it's frustrating. It's a long road for anybody who's been unfortunate enough to have the same kind of injury. But, you know, particularly from where we are now, it would be a lot worse mentally if I was looking outside and it was green grass and blue skies and, you know, buddies texting me about, hey, can you come play nine? I mean, it's going to be mid-April before all this gets away. This is literally our third 8 inches or more snowstorm in the last 12 days. And we're on the southern part of Connecticut. We're not even getting it as bad as some other parts in other areas of New England. So it's frustrating to have the injury, but it's frustrating to look outside, but at least I'm not missing anything on the golf course.
I thought you were going to tell me, Will, that you the injury occurred as you were rushing down the concourse to catch a flight to Florida.
I mean, that would have been worse.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
And Will, you're not going to be able to make it to Augusta, right, which is where we met you a couple years ago, and you certainly were looking forward to going to the Masters, but that's off the schedule now, right?
Unfortunately, yeah, I'm on the shelf for probably until the middle of April. I might be able to make it to the RBC at Hilton Head, but yeah, to be down at Augusta this year is going to have to be a rain check. It's frustrating for sure. I was looking forward to being there and seeing you guys again and being with the good folks at Prime Sport, the executive club. And, unfortunately, I'll be enjoying it on TV this year.
Yep. And by the way, Will, it
will be at Northwood is what they're telling us. SiriusXM will be at the executive club, and we'll be at Northwood, which is the other club that they've just, a new one they've just redone. It's really, really nice. So it's a shame you're not going to be there. But RBC's perfect for you because there are a lot of boats around there, and some of the canoes that you have with the golf cleats in them are capable of walking around on a boat without damaging them too, you know? So there you go.
There you go. That's how it got started.
It is.
Was the boat shoot. Tell people that haven't heard the story before about canoes, Will, the background. And give us the short version of how it even came into existence.
Yeah, it started about 5 years ago with a couple kids. Well, as I say, like a lot of successful stories, with a couple guys playing hooky. And it was right around this time of the year, ironically enough, with all the snowfall outside, where we had a terribly unseasonably warm day on what happened to be the kickoff of March Madness. So it was literally 5 years ago this Thursday. And on that nice warm day, which clearly we're not getting enough of these parts of the country, they said, 65 degrees, let's go play golf. They didn't have their shoes. They didn't want to alert work or home that they were going to be doing this. So they kind of went out in the stuff they were wearing on the casual Thursday. One of the guys happened to be wearing his boat shoes. And went out, they had a great time, and after the round, he realized that he was incredibly comfortable wearing those shoes, but was a little unhappy with how much he was slip-sliding around on the course. So that night, he literally took a drill to the bottom of his Sperry's and started sticking old Black Widow golf spikes in there, and that night, Canoes was born. And, probably two dozen prototypes later, we now have three patents, and the boat shoe is still the flagship style. And it's been a pretty good run, as we still introduce some other styles along the way. But, yeah, as Frank mentioned, the boat shoe remains the cornerstone of canoes.
They're beautiful shoes. They're so comfortable that, and that's, as you just said, the great thing about it, you can wear them before you play, while you play, after you play, even if you're not playing. I wear them all the time. And you have the canvas, which are the newer versions of the shoe, which are extremely comfortable, really cool looking. Everybody that sees them, until you show them the bottom, they have no idea that they even have the soft spikes on them. And this being right around the time for the Masters, you guys just came out with a new style, didn't you?
We did. In fact, we're going to be launching a pre-sale on it on Tuesday, so probably later this afternoon as we're taping. And we're very, very excited about it. As you guys know, and you saw from the Masters the last couple of years, we've had an Augusta Green boat shoe that's been really, really well received. And it's, the green upper where the boat shoe portion is, and then on the outsole on the bottom, it's a white outsole with yellow spikes all around. We kept that same color scheme and we translated it to the canvas shoe. And, we debuted them in a very soft way at the PGA show in Orlando in January, and the reception was just tremendous. And we've got a couple different clubs around the country who have Masters themed either par three events or kind of, they do the Calcutta and a lot of the gambling things. And they've ordered a bunch to have as, the kind of giveaways for their members to have. So we're really lucky and fortunate to be having them land. We're going to be, like I said, launching the pre-sale of them online on Tuesday. And people can find them at masters.canoes.com.
Yeah, Brendan Sweeney, by the way, at the PGA Merchandise Show, went running over to the Canoes booth after we got off the air and snagged a pair.
Yes. He went, what a shock.
That's what a shocker. What a shocker that Brendan would go snake a pair of shoes. Has French Lick placed the order for canoes for all of their hotels and golf courses?
Yeah.
They better. He needs to send them back.
He had a pair. Well, remember when we walked around, you, me, and Brendan walked around, and I didn't have mine with me, but the two of you had the green boat shoes. We walked around the Masters a couple years ago. Brendan is probably your biggest ambassador. I've never seen a guy so happy, and so he said it's the most comfortable shoe he's ever worn in his life. And Augusta is not an easy place to walk around. It's a lot hillier than people imagine. And Brendan loves them, and everybody else should too. Check it out, Canoes, which is spelled C-A-N-O-O-S, C-A-N-O-O-S, canoes.com is the website to go to. And you guys, not only for the Masters, but you guys also Will Backus joins us. He's the brand manager for Canoes. Did something with the Walker Cup, did you not, last year?
We did. We were very lucky to have that kind of dovetail from an association we did with the USGA when they had the U.S. Senior Open at Salem Country Club, which is close to where the company headquarters is, just outside north of Boston. We designed a custom red, white, and blue boat shoe for all the volunteers and marshals for there. And then kind of when that happens, the USGA comes in a couple weeks before the event, as everybody's been spending, you know, 18 months on site setting up the venue. And they come in and say, okay, you know, we'll take it from here. So I was lucky enough to meet a couple of the guys from the USGA, one of whom runs the US Amateur and the Walker Cup team. He saw the boat shoe and he loved the customization. He saw the canvas shoe, liked the look of it, and said, boy, I'd love it if we could sort of marry these two together. Is that possible? And I said, you know, of course. I said, yes. And then I went and figured out how to do it. And we designed a custom red, white, and blue canvas shoe for Team USA at the Walker Cup matches last September at LACC. And it was really exciting to be just a small part of that event. And, you know, the, seeing the success of the team and how well those guys did was really exciting.
Yeah, it's been a great 5 years, as you said. Kind of hard to imagine it's gone by that fast, but a great 5 years with canoes, and you got more things, I'm sure, coming. And not that you have to make another announcement, but it is kind of an amazing story, and I'm sure more and more great designs will be coming out of there. It's very competitive, though, isn't it, Will? I mean, the golf business in general, the shoe business of golf shoes, very, very competitive. To try to get a new brand in any stores, any pro shops, is not impossible, but it's very tough.
Yeah, you know, it's a nice challenge. We certainly, you know, embrace that for sure. You know, one of the things that is always tough to figure out on our side of it is, it's not like making a new really nice polo shirt where there's small, medium, large, extra large, and you can, you know, pack them together, and when you deliver them to a pro shop, you can have them in a nice compact array of colors, and it looks very presentable. Shoes are shoes, and between, you know, smaller size 7s and larger size 14s and half sizes in between, you know, it's kind of tough to always, you know, throw the darts correctly on where to order the sizing and who wants what. But it's I think it's nice that we seem to have found a pretty nice niche in the casual performance shoe market, where, you know, as you guys mentioned, you can wear them on the course and off the course. And, you know, kind of the two most pressing questions we get all the time are, you know, number one, can you play golf in these? And number two, can you really wear them off the course? And certainly the answers are yes and yes. And if you couldn't play golf in them, we wouldn't have stayed in business 6 months.
What's the
outsole. Sorry, Frank, go ahead.
That's okay. What's the most common size in men's shoes?
11.
11?
Which
there you
is,
go.
Which always, I tell you, as long as I've been doing this, it still surprises me. I always, you know, just sort of knee-jerk skew the bell curve a little bit smaller to, you know, probably 10, and we sell out of 11s and 12s probably faster than anything else, believe it or not.
Huh. Wow.
Interesting. What size are you, Frank?
I'm a 9.5 or 10, depending on the shoe.
Well, that's unusual. You're a tall guy.
Feet. Yeah, I don't have great feet. That's why I fall over a lot.
I found, Will, that like a lot of things when you get older, you know, you kind of shrink up a little bit. My feet, I used to be an 11, even 11 and a half, and I'm now like a 10 and a half. I don't know why my feet are getting smaller.
I
hope at some point it stops. Yeah, I hope at some point, but yeah, they're 10 and a half now. So, anyway, I've got a few different pairs of yours, and like I said, when I wear them, everybody notices first off, but I wear them all over the place. I mean, not just playing golf. I wear them because the canvas shoes in particular, the ones I have and I wear, they're the most comfortable shoes I have in my closet, not just golf shoes. So it's kind of, and it is amazing too. Well, we talked about this even, you know, a couple of years ago at Augusta, the golf shoe not that long ago, and Frank still wears some of these, the old school golf shoe, were almost like your dad's Sunday dress shoes,
yeah.
You know, that you had to break in, and they weren't real comfortable until you broke them in, and they were a year old, and that luckily has kind of faded because the tennis shoe model, if you will, kind of came into play in the last 10 or 15 years, but it wasn't that long ago where golf shoes were the antithesis of being comfortable. You kind of just had to put up with a stiff shoe to play golf with the metal spikes on the bottom to play golf. Nowadays, seriously, I think for some people, it's the most comfortable shoes they wear all day.
Yeah, I mean, even I'm, you know, old enough to remember when, you know, the first couple pairs of golf shoes I had, and certainly all the guys I caddied for, there were the old, you know, FootJoys with that big flappy, you know, all those tassels and the
kilty.
Kilty.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd have trouble lacing up the shoes because everything was so stiff, even the laces. And, you know, now a lot of the companies, you know, certainly including ours, you know, have gone to a much more casual performance look. And, you know, when you see some of the guys on tour, and, you know, thank goodness for high-def television, when they have the close-ups and they have the follow-through, a lot of them don't even have spikes. They're just the little nubs all around the sole of the shoe. And it suits them just fine. And it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of faith sometimes from the customer standpoint of, you know, players have been using the same kind of thing for many, many years, sometimes decades. You know, can I really, you know, go ahead and make the transition to use this kind of shoe? And, you know, certainly if, you know, Justin Rose and Sergio and those guys were wearing that kind of outsole for, you know, anchoring their golf swings, I think it's going to be good enough for the rest of us too.
That's a good point.
It is. They're a great shoe. Very comfortable. Again, it's canoes.com is the website. Give us again, Will, the website for the Masters style.
Yeah, it's just masters.canoes.com, and it will lead you directly to the product pages for both the Augusta boat shoe and the new Augusta canvas shoe for pre-order.
We actually, Frank, we're going around a couple years ago when I was saying that Will and I and Brendan walked around Augusta. We were trying to push the green boat shoe, the Augusta boat shoe, on a lot of the different volunteers. Of course, they're all over the Masters, right?
Yeah.
And said that they had to get them. So I don't know if that you made any headway there, Will, but we did our best as a three-man sales
where was I
group to try to,
y'all were
to try to get them
course.
On.
Where was I?
I think the bar.
Oh, okay.
If I remember right. Yeah.
That's why I fall over so much. Maybe I should order a pair of 12s and just stuff them with paper so I don't fall over as much. There you go.
I think that might be the answer. But we tried to get the volunteers, and they're all like, yeah, we love them. So I don't know. Well, we've got to keep working on that. You won't be there this year to do it. But I think eventually we're going to see all those volunteers at Augusta National wearing the Augusta golf shoe because they are extremely comfortable. Those guys are sitting there all day wearing their shoes and trying to make sure that everybody's in good shape and they need to be wearing those shoes. By the way, well, before I let you go, just because you're a golf nut and a golf fan and a big golfer, curious what you think about last week with Tiger. Of course, this week he's playing in the Arnold Palmer Invitational, but what do you think about watching him and the crowds, the reaction, the noise, just the excitement at the Valspar?
Wasn't that fantastic?
Unbelievable.
I mean,
yeah.
He's played 8 of the last 12 days, and I think, like a lot of other people, I'm most impressed and happy that there's no grimacing with all these swings he's taken, and really some powerful shots with longer, you know, irons particularly. And he looks very, very good, and anybody who has seen any of the rounds he's played, I think would be hard-pressed to bet against him anywhere. Now, you know, that said, there's still a lot of people out there still trying to win the tournaments also. And I think Saturday of the Valspar was really exciting. I think Sunday for his round, it you know, I was joking with a couple of friends I was watching with, it felt a little bit more like a 13-10 football game where there was some excitement at the start and some excitement at the end. And in between, there was a lot of good action between the 30-yard line, but then a bunch of missed field goals and just not a lot of sort of over the top. And it just, if he could have made just a couple more putts and particularly on Saturday, I think, you know, he would have won, you know, going away. But, you know, when you look at the leaderboard, I mean, Keegan Bradley, Jim Furyk, I mean, Bob Estes was on the first page of the leaderboard on Saturday afternoon. It was,
yeah, you know, it's unbelievable.
A return to, you know, 2009.
Do you know, I listened to the broadcast, of course, our PGA Tour radio play-by-play team, part of our whole family. And on number 17, when Tiger drained that 40-footer, that's the most excited I've ever heard Mark Carnival since he won Rookie of the Year. Honest to goodness, he came out of his shoes. Can you believe it? He reminded me of Mark Zucchino on the air. I mean, it was exciting. I was up off the couch, guys, when that happened. I jumped up off the couch. I just couldn't believe it.
It was incredibly dramatic. Yeah.
It was incredibly exciting. You know, the ball just trundled into the hole in the last two or three dimples. And, you know, even on 18, I think he made the good strategic play by hitting an iron just to keep it in the fairway to give himself a putt at it, even though it may not have been the best look. But halfway to the hole, did anybody think that was not going to scare the cup?
Yeah.
It's just amazing the kind of faith that he produces in his own ability, having been away for 3 or 4 years.
He's back.
Well, he's in a place this week that he absolutely loves. Won 8 times at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. So if that was a warm-up last week, and we'll see what happens this week. But anyway, you look at it, and again, I hate to keep saying this, Will, because you won't be at Augusta. But anyway, you look at this, it's all leading up to Tiger at Augusta. He seems to be raring to go. Who knows what's going to happen there, but he certainly seems to be in better shape than a Jordan Spieth or someone else who is not heading in the right direction as they're getting to Augusta. So, boy, I tell you what, it's got to be setting everybody in the world of golf on fire that as we get ready for the first major and the one that a lot of people love the most, and Tiger is at kind of back to where he was before, it's going to be a great 3 weeks leading up to what's going on in Georgia.
Yeah, the prospect of it is really exciting. I hope for his sake and for the people who love golf that nothing, you know, happens between now and then. There's not kind of a, you know, Dustin Johnson freak injury like last year, or he doesn't tweak anything, you know, in upcoming events. But, boy, everything's sort of pointing really favorably in the right direction, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. It's can't wait. Can't wait for it to happen. Will, we appreciate your time, as always, and good luck with the healing of the Achilles that you get up and about sooner rather than later, even though you can't golf anytime soon, at least not in your backyard. But thanks for your time. We do appreciate it.
All right, guys, I'm going to get off to give him my ski report now. Thanks.
Take care, buddy. Get
we
better.
We appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right,
bye-bye.
See you. All right. That's Will Back, as he again, the brand manager of Canoes Golf Shoes, canoes.com, which, by the way, Frank, they also have really cool apparel. So if you want to check out their website, canoes.com, not only the shoes, but they've got some cool golf shirts and hoodies and golf hats and outerwear. So, a really neat company that, I mean, that's America, right? Just out of nowhere, a guy decides, you know what? I kind of like these boat shoes, and boy, it'd be great if I could play golf in them. And boom, a company is founded just on that simple premise, and they're doing great. So best of luck to Will and everybody with the Canoes. Hey, Frank, by the way, we're talking about Tiger and the Arnold Palmer Invitational being played this week at Bay Hill. Another announcement that is not quite officially come out yet, but they're saying all indications are that Tiger...
Don't leak it. Don't leak it.
Why not?
Don't leak it.
I'm not leaking it.
It's a secret that he's going to be
the captain of the President's Cup.
There it is.
In 2019, along with Ernie Els. Games will be played, the matches, in Melbourne, Australia, December of 2019. And obviously it brings up the point that he could be a playing captain. Because if he keeps playing the way he's playing, why would he not be on the team as a player? I don't know. Certainly not as President's Cup, hasn't been. I'm sure in Ryder Cup there have been playing captains, Nicklaus or something like that, Frank. Do you know the answer to that? Has to have been, right?
I don't know, but it has to have been, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I'm sitting here scanning something on my iPad right now because I wanted to look at a stat, but I can't find it, so we'll have to
There has to have been at some point, whether it's Hogan or Nelson or somebody, had to have been a playing captain and on Ryder Cups or certainly on the European team. But the President's Cup, I don't believe, going back to Nicklaus and other President's Cup captains, there's been a playing captain since, what is it, 90s, early 90s when they started the President's Cup.
I'll check that out. Hey,
it could be Tiger. Tiger could be there.
Well, yeah, no kidding. Let's go back to API right now.
Okay.
This week, now Arnie is not there. Ricky Fowler, Peter Jacobson, and who else is going to be really hosting the tournament this week? There's three of them.
It's not Tiger?
No, it's not Tiger, no.
So Ricky, Sam Saunders?
I'm not sure. You know, I shouldn't ask that question because I don't know the answer. I'm not sure. I thought you might know. Okay, well, pretty sure research is really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's Paul Stankowski
research? Yeah. When you need somebody to do 30 seconds of research, where is he?
Jeez, come on, Paul, quick.
I'm not sure who it is. Ricky, by the way, you saw his new shoes.
How cool are those high tops?
Ricky is breaking out a whole new pair of shoes for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. I'll tell you what though. I like the fact that Ricky pushes the envelope. I mean, a lot of people could like not like his look. His apparel and stuff. But he puts it out. Yeah, he puts it out there, and you're like, that's okay. I mean, because there's other guys that are still wearing 1994 styles. So, you know, the fact that Ricky's a few years ahead of everybody is kind of cool. But he's got some very colorful shoes set for Thursday at Bay Hill. Which, by the way, I've never played. Have you played Bay Hill, Frank?
A ton, yeah. Yeah, because living down there for all those years, yeah. I wasn't that far. You know, Ponte Vedra just cut straight across, down 301 to I-4, boom, you're there. Yeah, a bunch. Bay Hill's tough. And I said that last week about Valspar. It's tough. No, Bay Hill is hard. It's just a hard golf course.
Very different than Valspar. Much more Florida-ish, if you will. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, open, but also windy, a lot of water.
Number six. Oh, yeah. Number six is just a brutal hole. I mean, you just ought to take a putter and run it down the fairway around the dogleg left to get on the green because it's how much do you want to bite off, big boy, to scan that water? And they had 45 balls in the water, I think. I think it was 45 last year. On number six. So, yeah, it's a tough golf course, man. It's a beautiful place, and Arnold Palmer will be sorely missed. But
Tiger will be playing on Thursday with everybody else in the field. And just to go back to the stat that we mentioned earlier in the show, he has 8 wins at Bay Hill. He also, which, by the way, is the most for any single tournament on tour in history, but he also has done it at 2 other places. Did you know that? So Tiger has 8 wins at Bay Hill, 8 wins at Torrey Pines, and 8 wins at Firestone.
You know, I was going to say Torrey Pines, but Firestone had blanked out on me, kind of like the third
when you win 79 times, I guess you're going to win a bunch. That's one course. He's won more than the average golfer ever wins on the tour, ever. Most average golfers never come close to winning 8 times. They're lucky to win 1 or 2, and then they're that's big. A lot of the guys go through their entire careers and never win a tournament. So it just shows you the enormity of Tiger when he can win on 3 different courses. He has 24 wins on 3 different courses. Pretty impressive. So we'll see. If he goes for number 9, that would break the record for the most at any place, and he certainly is warmed up and ready to go after Valspar.
Where more than Bay Hill is it appropriate for him to win his 80th PGA Tour event, 80th victory?
Yeah. Wow. It would be appropriate.
It would be very appropriate and probably is in the cards. You know, if he doesn't come out and play really well, people will go nuts because he's expected to win. Now, Johnny Miller said he's not his favorite to win this week.
Yeah.
And I found that hard to believe, but Johnny had some valid points that he made in regard to that.
I will say this in the Johnny Miller over-criticizing mode that I might be in here, but when Tiger, we were talking, and Will was just mentioning how Tiger missed some putts, certainly Saturday, and then again Sunday, had made a few, would have won the tournament. I think even more to the point is he missed clubbed, and a number of guys did, Patrick Reed as well. You get to 18 in particular, but I'll go back to 14 with Tiger, which is the par 5. He's 253 out, and he hits a 3-wood. And by all accounts, he just nailed it, hit it as good as he could hit it, and left himself an 80-foot putt, which he then proceeded to 3-putt from 80 feet for a par. To me, if you know that you can hit that 3-iron as hard as you can hit it, and you uphill on 14, the pin is all the way in the back, and you're not going to get close to it, why are you not hitting a hybrid or a 3-wood or something? If you're trying to win the golf tournament,
control,
don't leave 80 feet short. I think that was a misplay that nobody's talking about as much because if you leave yourself 40 feet short, 30 feet, okay, you could 2-putt there and get your birdie. And that birdie would have put him in a playoff. Instead, he gets a bogey. I mean, I'm sorry, he gets a par. Then he comes to 18. Again, I think he mishits because he leaves himself 35 feet for a birdie. Well, that's not realistic. Yes, he just drained one, but you're very seldom going to drain 2 35, 40-foot putts to tie a golf tournament. And Patrick Reed did the same thing, brought it all the way back down
that ridge, and then just putted. That was an amateur move. That was terrible.
The ball came all the way back to his feet. I'm sitting there going, both those guys have a chance to go to a playoff. And I know it's easy to say, right, armchair quarterback, but that is what they do for a living. I mean, they do play golf every day for a living. Both of those guys, I think both Tiger and Patrick Reed, and more probably heat on Reed. I mean, Tiger maybe still has a bit of cobwebs and stuff, but both of those guys had legitimate chances to tie, and I think Paul Casey was more than happy to say, thank you very much. I'll take my check and my trophy, and I'll go home because I thought there was a playoff for sure coming.
I think the young guys out there saw, last week especially, what the Tiger effect is. Just the crowds and the movement and
it just affects everybody around, ahead of him and behind him.
Yeah.
Everybody. It was 20 deep. I mean, it was incredible. Don't you think the Masters is going to, well, this week is going to be crazy because it's in the heart of Florida, easy to get to, Orlando. It's going to be nuts. I can't wait. I was thinking last night, maybe I should just hop a flight and get down there for a couple of days, and I still may do that because.
To Bay Hill, you're
saying? Yeah, to Bay Hill.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the Masters. I'm going to go over there, and we're going to do some shows from Augusta, as we always do every year. But we don't spend as much time on the golf course at Augusta because it's pretty packed.
Right.
But I think Bay Hill's going to be just as packed. It's just a lot more spread out than Augusta is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And Augusta's kind of finite numbers, right? I mean,
you've
got restricted tickets.
Yes.
So it's not like every – if you wanted to put a million people, you couldn't get a million people
in
there.
Yes, you do.
You know? I mean, it's just – it is what it is. And it's going to be hugely successful and very busy and packed no matter who's playing.
Nuts.
But there will be a different buzz. And that's what a lot of the guys were talking about. Yeah, a lot of the golf tournaments they play in Phoenix and other places that Tiger may not have been, they're exciting and there's fan support and all that kind of stuff. But they all said there was something a little different. You could hear three fairways over and you're like, wow, that was like a near miss by Tiger. And they're going, it's louder than almost any of us making a putt.
Exactly.
For an eagle, and it's just a near miss, but it still gets that crazy.
What do you think is going to happen after this tournament? After Bay Hill, what will Tiger do? You think he's going to sit back now and just rest? He's not in the match play, of course.
Yeah.
He didn't qualify for that.
Right.
So
I think he will.
Will he play Houston?
I don't think so.
I don't think he'll rest and get ready for Augusta.
I think he's in. And, you know, it was interesting, too. They talked about it on the broadcast at Valspar. And I guess this didn't come as a shock, but I didn't know this as a fact. That on his property, his estate at Jupiter, he has not only different green arrangements, but different grasses around those greens so that he practices on his own property with, I don't know if he's got Poana because he probably can't grow it, but he's got Bermuda and he's got Zoysia and he's got all these different, just like you would if you could do anything you wanted in your backyard, he's got that. So I think he can work on any part of his game for any golf course he's going to play without leaving the property. I don't know how many acres he has. He's got 100 acres, 50 acres or something.
It's pretty incredible. I mean,
that's incredible. So I think that's what he'll do. I think he'll just stay home and work on everything.
Yeah, he'll probably
at golf courses around there and stuff, but I don't think he's going to play in a competitive tournament.
Oh, I think he'll jet into the private airport at Augusta a couple of times.
Yeah, yeah. You think he can get on?
They might let him on the course. I don't know. Maybe I'll send him a text and see if he'll take me out. Play
why,
nine
why wouldn't
him.
He?
I could help his game a lot. Make him feel
why
really
wouldn't
good.
He? As, can't wait for, I mean, because when going to Augusta, as we always talk about, and for a lot of people, and I would imagine, Frank, most of the people listening to us have not been to Augusta. I mean, most people, I don't think, have had the chance to go. A lot of people can, but it's not, you know, the easiest thing to be able to get into.
Not the least expensive ticket in the world, is it?
Yeah, and it's a little difficult to get to. It's not like you fly into a major airport and you're right there, so you have a little driving you got to do. And for those reasons, I don't think a lot of people have probably been there. But once again, and we'll talk about this the week of the Masters, the different changes in topography, when you're actually there, you'll never appreciate on TV.
No,
I mean, it blows you away when you're going, wow, look at how much more uphill that is on even 18 than you think, how downhill 10 is. If you can hit it in that slot, you wonder, how are these guys hitting it that? Because it's like you're standing on top of a 40-story building.
Yeah,
when you're on the tee at number 10, looking down at the green.
The elevation changes are incredible. And for those who haven't seen it, it is. TV does not do it justice.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I don't know.
It does it. It does the beauty justice. But actually, it doesn't do that. I take that back. It really doesn't. It's more beautiful there than it is on TV.
I mean, somebody will come up with the technology that will actually be able to see more 3D, I guess-ish, on TV. HD does it a lot better than it used to and everything, but it still blows you away. So I can't wait. I mean, I'm looking forward to all the coverage and everything we're going to be talking about there. But Tiger's still got to play this week first.
Speaking of coverage, last week, the highest ratings, NBC received the highest golf ratings outside of any major, of course, the highest ratings since 2013. They had a 5.1 this past week at Valspar.
Wow.
2013, the Players' Championship was just a little bit higher than that in 2013. Of the all non-majors ratings. Since then, nothing until this past Sunday. Guess who in 2013 won the tournament at the Players' Championship? Ah, that would be a Tiger Woods.
Oh.
Yeah. So, you know
what?
I was
working on an answer.
He's saving the network, kind of like Regis Philbin saved ABC with Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, supposedly. Tiger Woods is going to save the Golf Channel with Tiger Woods is Back.
Or Who Wants to Be a Billionaire? Hey, you know what? By the way, I will say this, too. And Paul Casey's a really good guy.
He is.
And good thing that he was, because other people might have been a little bit upset, including probably his family, because how much or how little of Paul Casey did we see after he'd finished? Like zero? I mean, they got a cutaway of him either putting in the clubhouse, on the practice, something, getting ready for a playoff with Reed. Never.
Nothing.
Oh, now Tiger's coming. So, okay, every time Tiger took a step, we saw everything of Tiger. And I get that, but not a shot of the guy who actually won the tournament. Then once it's over, guess what? They show the reaction of Tiger having not won, walking through the crowd. And it's Tiger. You still haven't seen the guy who won the tournament for like 30 minutes.
And he is one of the nicest guys on the tour, period.
And he was, and he was okay with it. But I'm like, man, I'll tell you, somebody might go, it'd be nice if, you know, you'd show my husband, who just happened to win the tournament.
Yeah, that's someone we've not had on the show. Paul Casey's never been on our show. We need to get him on. He'll do it. Yeah. I mean, he's a great guy.
Yeah, he is. Very, very friendly.
And he, by the way, played with Tiger in the years when it was, you know, Tiger Mania.
Yeah.
I mean, he talked about it. He said, look, he said, of all everybody out here, if I can't win, I want Tiger to win. He said, I'm excited to see him back. Paul Casey was gushing about Tiger the whole week.
He followed Tiger by a few years when he was at Arizona State, Tiger in the same conference at Stanford, and Paul actually broke some of his records, his conference records. Paul was a very, very good All-American golfer at Arizona State. So he's kind of, I don't want to say in his shadow, but he's kind of been around Tiger for, a long, long time, even including the college days.
I just want to go back to what Phil said last week after he won, week before last, when he said, I wouldn't be surprised if Tiger Woods goes out and wins this week just to upstage me. Well, we have to, a correction on that. Tiger Woods went out and came in second and upstaged Phil.
Yeah.
And he did. I mean, it's just Tiger Woods, not to take anything away from Phil Mickelson. And, you know, Phil Mickelson's an incredible guy.
Yeah,
as we all know, I'm preaching to the choir here. But
That's where the cameras are.
Anyway, this week, Tim, for our listeners, we're going to try to bring a couple of special guests on. We're working. Their PR people have called me this morning, by the way, while we were doing this show. So I got to get back to them at Bay Hill. But we may have one or two special guests on this week, later in the week. Thanks to Prime Sport, we're going to be at the Northwood Club doing the show during the week. So go to primesport.com and check it out. See if you can get hospitality badges for Northwood. They have multiple clubs, executive clubs. Some SiriusXM shows will be there. We'll be doing Golf Talk America at Northwood. And so see if you can get some hospitality and come see the show live at Northwood Club during the Masters.
A lot of fun.
Gonna be fun stuff.
There'll be some giveaways. We'll have somebody there giveaways. Give some stuff away. Yeah.
There'll be some golf
clubs. We did it with Will. We gave away, gave away a number of canoes to different people that were around us when we were doing the show there.
I may have Will ship us some shoes, and we'll just put them on the stage and give away some shoes. Will Bacchus is a great guy, good friend. I have three pair of canoes in there. Two are worn out, basically. I've just worn them out from 2 years ago when he gave me
a green pair
and a red pair. The red pair of canoes... Didn't you set up the salesmanship club, all the volunteers there?
Yes, they talked. I don't know that happened, but they're continuing to talk because, the salesmanship club for the Byron Nelson all wear red pants, and so the red canoes, boat shoes, were a perfect match for them. So they were talking because I think, if I'm not mistaken, they were discontinuing the red last year. So I think they're trying to work a deal with, saying, hey, we got a bunch that we're not going to make anymore, so...
I'm
not sure how that ended up.
I want some yellow ones. I want some yellow ones.
Golly, look at you, Mr. Colorful.
You know, you said I wear old man golf shoes. That's not true.
I'm looking at
a stack of golf shoes over here. They're all the modern ones, the hot new look and all that. But you know me, I'm a Saddle Oxford guy.
I know. Well, that's the ones I'm talking about.
My dad wore the wingtip style, the old FootJoy classics with the steel spikes. They're beautiful. Phil wears those.
You got to ask yourself why that was. And you say the same thing. You could say the same thing about football cleats. If you go back, even to the 70s and the 80s, guys were wearing very hard leather, stiff football cleats, right? And golf shoes were kind of in the same mode.
Yeah, same thing. I don't know
why it took somebody saying, you know, because basketball never did. Basketball are always comfortable shoes, and other sports had. So I'm like, why it took somebody to go, boy, I don't want to go play golf and put on my, you know, my hard shoes, really. And remember, it also
I do. It killed you the first couple of rounds you played in them.
God.
The new shoes.
You had to sit there and kind of go, I'm working them in.
Shoes have evolved. The technology is incredible. I ran track in high school. Mm-hmm. And I still have scars on the back of my right heel where, you know what track shoes are like? You know, talk about spikes and shoes.
Yeah.
The toe of those track shoes are long like fangs, like kitty cat fangs. Yeah. The baton handoff didn't go so well.
That's why you only have 9.5.
That stunted my growth.
They stunted your foot growth.
We're not going to go into that conversation again, please.
Back in your high school track days, you'd have like 14. Wouldn't have been for high school track.
Anyway, yeah, okay. Well, we'll be doing a lot of shows this week, so we probably ought to abbreviate this one. What do you think?
Okay. Yeah.
Get out of here.
I'm good to go.
Let's go.
No more foot talk.
No.
All right. Hey, thanks to Will Backus with Canoes for joining us. Canoes Golf Shoes. Go to canoes.com and find all their great styles. They're great, great, most comfortable shoes. You're going to love them. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.